to you endures forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah.
My mic wasn't on for all of you that are home, but I prayed a good prayer. Hallelujah. We're going to get into the Word tonight, and if you'll turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's here in the Pacific Northwest. It's snowing outside, and so a lot of people are at home, and they're bundled up, and that's great. I just want to remind you that Sunday we have a guest speaker, Joe Purcell, is coming. I'd love for you all to show up to support him and be here at church, and it's going to be a good time in the Lord, but it's also, he's got some things that he's got specifically from the Lord for us. And so we're just believing for that anointing to come through. So be here on Sunday if you can, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. This is a very familiar particular verse in the Scripture, but I want to show you here in verse 17, and it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." And the question that I have, or the title of the message, is, who are we? I mean, who are we? What difference did it make when Jesus died on the cross and he became our Lord and Savior? What difference did that make? And the Bible says here, and some of this will be review for some of you, but I think it's important to, again, get this into our hearts and make it ever so apparent to us and before us all the time. It says that again, in verse 17, that if anyone is in Christ, and how do you get in Christ? You become born again, right? You accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You recognize that I am not good enough to get to God. I need Jesus to take my place. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. So that gets me in Christ. But if I'm in Christ, I'm a new creature. You know, when I got saved, and that was way back in the olden days, in the 70s, right? Like 77, I think it was, 77, I got saved. I knew that there was a difference on the inside of me, but there was no difference on the outside. If you knew me before, you know, that it was a Tuesday night. If you knew me on Monday and you saw me again on Wednesday, I'd look the same. I'd sound the same. So the outside was the same. And my mind, I still had some of the same patterns of thoughts, but I was different on the inside, and I knew I was different on the inside. I was a new creature in my spirit. My spirit became new. And it's so important that we understand that we are spirit. And isn't that cool that Jesus said, listen, he was talking to the Samaritan woman. He said, the hour is coming and now is, when those who worship me won't worship me here or there, but they'll worship me in spirit and in truth. And the reason that was so vital to the Lord, it was because I'm making a way that we can be on a level spiritually that we haven't been able to be on because of sin. But because I'm taking your sin, you can now be right with me. But that's on the inside. In Thessalonians, it says that we are spirit, soul, and body. And I like to say it this way, it's the way I was taught, that I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. And again, it was explained to me this way, that in my mind, I touch the mental area. In my body, I touch the physical area. But in my spirit, I touch the spirit area. And so God had to make us new on the inside so that he could communicate with us. And the Bible says, and this is amazing to me, that he comes to dwell in us or with us. In 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 3, he says that, don't you know that you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit? And the temple of the Holy Spirit is the place where the Spirit dwells. It's where he lives. But we need to understand that even though our bodies are screaming at us and we have thoughts that are coming contrary to us, that in our spirit men, we're right with God. And look at this, because again it says that, therefore, if anyone was in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, on the inside, and we're going to look at that a little bit more in a minute, but on the inside, I became brand new. That night where I went in and I gave my heart to Jesus and I left, I got filled with the Holy Ghost at the same time. But when I left that room, when I left that house, I knew I was a completely new creature. I couldn't explain it to you, but I knew that 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 I knew. And I'm not the judge, but one of my heart's issues, I was talking with somebody about this just the other day, and it was a conversation along this lines, that people have said the sinner's prayer, and they may have been in church all their lives, but they've never really been born again because they don't give themselves completely to Jesus. Talked with a gentleman just the other day, Larry, if you're listening tonight, I was talking to you, and he said to me, he said, you know, I got saved when I was young. I mean, I said the sinner's prayer. He said, but I didn't get born again until I was 71. I got, listen to that. I was saved. In other words, I said the sinner's prayer when I was a young man, but I didn't get born again until I was 71. And what's the difference? The difference is that I completely give over myself to the Lord, and He completely takes over me, right? Now, I still have my will involved. I still have all of that. But it's like, I just want to... Somebody said, what is the worst thing that you fear? Here's the worst thing that I fear, and I have an assurance that this isn't going to happen, but just imagine going before Jesus one day, and you say, well, you know, I pastored a church. I laid hands on the sick. I cast out devils. And Jesus turns and says, depart from me. I never knew you. See, when you're born again, you know Him and He knows you. Right? There's a knowing on the inside of a relationship that maybe not have been there before. But who are we? We are born again Christians or born again followers or born again disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, we have to have an understanding that my life is not my own, but it's His, right? But when we become born again, we become new creatures. And I love that. The Bible talks about that all of my sins are gone. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, He will remember my sins no more, right? But I still have thoughts that I used to have. You know, I have to control my thoughts. I still, and we're going to read that a little bit, but I still, you know, my body still wants to do things that it shouldn't be doing, right? But my spirit, if I'll begin to listen on the inside, my spirit can give direction to my mind. And it can give direction even to my body because it's in line with the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? Now watch this. This is really good. God said that I am going to take out a stony heart and put in a new heart. Go with me to Ezekiel 36. The book of Ezekiel and the 36th chapter. I have verse 26 here, but we're going to start a little bit earlier than that. Verse 23 says, and I will sanctify my great name, which is profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, in the nations. The nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. In other words, he's saying in the nation of Israel, they had a covenant with God. God made an agreement with them that you're my people, I'm your God. And then he gave them a list of rules and regulations. But the biggie, the first biggie that was there is that you shall have no other gods before you. And you got to understand that every nation around them, and practically every city, had their own god. And we're not going to go long ways down that road, but he said, listen, you're not going to have any other gods before you. And we've got to understand that it's God and him alone. I can't have idols or things outside of that. But he's saying, listen, there's coming a day, though, when I'm going to hallow my name in you. And he's talking to the nation of Israel, but he's talking also to us who become born again through Jesus, right? That he's going to hallow his name in us. That's really, really awesome. And everybody's going to know it. Now watch this. And this again, Israel. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of the countries and bring you into your own land. And we've been the generation that has seen that come into fulfillment, right? In 1948, Israel became a nation again. And since that time, and still today, there are Jewish folks going from all the way from Siberia, you know, to South America. They're all coming back to the nation of Israel. And I believe that's going to even become greater. But watch this. I believe they've been coming back physically, but spiritually they're not there yet. So that this hasn't been fulfilled. But it's coming. It's coming where he's going to reveal himself to the nation of Israel in a spiritual sense. But listen to what he goes on to say, because this is awesome. Verse 25 says, I will sprinkle you clean. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. And this is so symbolic of what had to happen for the priest to even go into the holy place and then into the presence of God. They had to wash themselves. There was ceremonial washing that had to happen. But he said, I'll take care of that. I'll do that. But when I wash you, you're going to be clean. In other words, one time, you're going to be clean. Under the blood sacrifice and under the animal sacrifice and under the Old Testament ritual that went on year after year after year, every time they went in, they had to be washed again and washed again. But he says here, when I sprinkle you with the water, you'll be clean. And Jesus said that I'll wash you with the water of the Word. And Paul referenced that in Ephesians chapter 3. We've been washed with the water of the Word. We've been sprinkled. We've been cleansed on the inside. You see, I might not feel clean, but it doesn't matter what you feel. What matters is what happened to you when you got saved. Who are we? We're children of the Most High God. Verse 26, it says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take out the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. God's saying, I'm going to do something on the inside of you that hasn't been done before, that's impossible to be done, because in your heart, and he was talking about our spirit, inside of our spirit, it was hardened to the things of God because of sin's effect on us. Sin's effect, not only our sins, but all the way back to Adam's sin. And what Adam's sin was self-idolatry, because Satan convinced him that, you know, that God just doesn't want you to eat of that tree, because if you do, then you'll get this knowledge. And Satan, the snake, absolutely convinced them to not listen to God, but to listen to their own flesh and their own heart. And God, because of that, we were all separated from him, right? But he said, I'm going to make a way where you're going to have a clean heart. You're going to have a new heart. I'm going to take out that stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. Now think about this, and I've been around people, and they talk about how the part of their heart is dead, right? And the more of your actual physical heart pump that is dead, the less efficient it is. And if it all dies, guess what? You're no longer there. right? And in the spirit, we were spiritually dead before God because our hearts were hardened because of sin. But he said, what I'm going to do, and he did that with Jesus, is that I'm going to make a way for you to be sprinkled and that you'll be cleansed from everything that's keeping you from me. But I'm going to take out that stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. In other words, one that's pumping, one that's alive, one that's absolutely working to its fullest capacity. Think about this, for instance, and I've thought about this often. A heart transplant, a man or woman goes in to the hospital and their heart's barely working, and you know, if something, they're on pacemakers, they've got all this stuff going on, and you know, they're still living, but it's a struggle to live. It's just a struggle to breathe. Everything is hard. And they go in and they get a heart transplant. And they wake up and after they recuperate a little bit, just think of the feeling that, wow, I've got blood going to every one of my... I can feel difference in my feet. I can feel difference in my hands. I can feel difference because why? There is life that's coming through the blood that's going to every part of my body. Here's what I'm saying, that God said, listen, you had a stony heart, but I had to do a heart transplant. And I took out that stony heart and I put in a heart that is fully functioning and fully able to do what it was designed to do. So when we became born again and God said, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take out of you that stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. Now, I believe that happened to us when we got born again. But I believe also that there's a day coming, and we're at that day when the Jewish nation is going to wake up to who their Messiah is. And at that point, this will become true for them. They've been brought in back into the land, but I don't think as a whole they've been given the new heart that God wants to give them to them. But it's coming. We're at that time. It's an exciting time to live. Jesus is Lord. He's for us, amen? He's not against us. Hallelujah. So, he took our old heart that was dead, and he put a new heart in us. So, I'm alive unto God. Do you understand? I'm alive unto God, and he's alive unto me. Now, watch this. This is really important that we get. But he's not alive necessarily to our minds. He's not necessarily alive to our bodies, but he's alive to our spirits. Jesus said it this way. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Why out of your bellies? Because your heart, or the core of who you are, is in your belly, right? And so what he was saying is, out of your inner man, out of the center of who you are, my life is going to spring forth. Living water is going to come out of you because of what I'm doing in you and what I did on the cross. And your part of receiving that is when you gave your heart to Jesus and he became Lord of your life. You became a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away, and now all things become new. So even when we're reading the New Testament, we have to read it differently. We may feel like sinners. Our mind and the enemy might bring condemnation upon us, like we're not good enough, or we're not, you know, God might use that person, but not me, based on how holy I think he is or she is, rather than how holy I feel or what cloud I'm under. But the reality is in your spirit, if you'd listen to it, it would say that you're worthy because he's made you worthy. It would say that you're sanctified because he made you sanctified. Jesus has made unto us all these things. It's not in my notes, but it's coming to mind. So let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And look at verse 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus. I want you to get that and just think about that for a minute. But of Him, of God, I am in Christ Jesus. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. When we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, what we said is, Lord, you paid the price. I want to walk in that. I want to be in covenant with that. I want you to speak through me. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. He said, well, the minute that you did that, then you walked under the umbrella of this. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us. In other words, He not only took our sins and He took our sins away, but He replaced that when He put in the new heart and gave us something else. And what is that? It's wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification. In other words, I'm separated unto God, but I'm separated unto God through my spirit. Sometimes my mind will want to run 100 miles the other direction, but I've got to begin to listen to who I am in my spirit and begin to operate out of that and not ignore what my spirit man is trying to tell me. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. It's really interesting that oftentimes we will ignore that still small voice that's on the inside of us, that's actually our spirit trying to bring up to our mind what God is trying to direct us to do. And He's trying to lead us by His Spirit, but we ignore it or we reason ourselves out of it when we have to pay more attention to what's going on inside. I told you the story of a young man, and his father was telling us the story, and there was a situation that came up, and he was praying, and he came out, and he was just young, like 7 or 8 years old, and he came out, and he was telling his folks what, and they said, "Are you sure about all that?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm positive. The Lord spoke to me. I know." And he said, "Well, how do you know?" "I know it in my knower. I know it in my knower." He said, "I don't know it up here. I know it here. I know it because God spoke it to me." God will speak to you out of your spirit. And if you're in tune, your mind will begin to meditate on the thoughts that God is trying to tell you. And He'll lead you and direct you, give you wisdom, and give you everything that you have need of. In Colossians and chapter 3, and look at verse 1. "If then you were raised with Christ..." Isn't that interesting? He's talking to people that are alive on the earth. They're from a church. They're from a city, Colossae. They're walking, they're breathing. He's writing to them. He says, "But if then you've been raised with Christ..." Well, wait a minute. We're still alive. We haven't died yet. How could we be raised if we're not dead yet? It's because spiritually, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you died to yourself. And you began to live for Him. And that transfer that happened, you became alive in Him. When we pray the sinner's prayer that's outlined in Romans chapter 10, where it says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. There's a couple of things there. You think, well, why do I have to believe or acknowledge that He was raised from the dead? Because His being raised from the dead is the very proof that the sacrifice was accepted. And if you're raised with Him, then you're accepted. Who am I? I'm a child of the living God. I'm a born-again believer of Jesus Christ. I am one of those who He took my place. I'm one that 2 Corinthians 5:21 covers, where it says, he who knew no sin became sin, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because I am in Christ and because he's in me, I am now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But I need to begin to look at myself differently. And again, it's not a place of arrogance. I didn't do anything. I'm not all that, but he made me all of that by my humbling myself and say, I need Jesus. I need a Savior. God, I'm a sinner. My life isn't going the way it should be. I need something different. Lord, come fill me. I accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. And the moment that I did that, I became new on the inside. And the Spirit of God began to speak to me. And I've been living out of that ever since. I don't get it right 100% of the time. But we must become more aware that we are risen in Christ. Look at this again. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Seek those things which are above. Now, the Lord will speak to you out of your spirit, but he'll also bring that up to your mind so that you can begin to understand and act and walk like he wants you to walk, right? And so watch this. It's so good. Out of my spirit, he begins to speak to me. And out of that born-again spirit, where the Spirit of God dwells and he walks with us and he talks with us, he can reveal even through the Word my thinking. Right? In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the perfect and acceptable will of God. In other words, it's by the Spirit of God in my spirit revealing what God is saying that allows me to be transformed into who he wants me to be. Can I know the will of God? Absolutely. But I can't know it just with my mind. It has to come from my spirit and my knower of knower. And that has to come up to my mind. But the way that that happens is I need to begin to put my concentration and my life and my thinking upon him. And even to the point of, I can't even think of myself the way I used to be. I have to think of myself the way he made me to be. In other words, I'm born again. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. That old man has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So I need to begin to reflect on the fact that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I don't live the same way I used to live. I don't think the same way I used to think. I don't do the same things that I used to do. And so when the enemy comes to me and says, you know, you ought to go do this, or you ought to watch that, or you ought to say this, I can say, no, that's not me anymore. That's not me anymore. Why? Because I'm thinking about who I am in him and what he's made me to be. He's made me to be a new creature. I am holy because he's made me holy. I can walk in the grace that he's given to me because he's given it to me. He's done such a supernatural work in me that I'm not the same as I used to be. You're not the same. I don't care if you've been born again a day, a minute, a second, or 30 years. You were made clean. He sprinkled you with water. You're accepted in the Beloved. He loves you, but he also put inside of you the capacity for supernatural understanding and supernatural power to live for him. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now watch this. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. How much time do we spend thinking about the things of God? It's a question. How much time during our day, and especially when we're going through things, if we have a physical crisis, or we have a financial crisis, or maybe a relational crisis, how much of that time are we meditating on him rather than being controlled by the circumstances that are around us? In other words, if we'll get to the place where we continually set our minds on him, there's a couple of aspects to that. It's like, I'm in his presence. Who cares what happens to me? I know I'm His. If you kill me, make my day. I'm going to be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. But not only that, if you think about this for a minute, and you think about, Lord, I've got some decisions to make. I'd really like Your input on them. And we are cognizant of that, and we begin to live out of that. Lord, what do You think? Lord, what do You think? And oftentimes He'll point you back to His Word. This is what I think. This is what I do. He never will lead you outside of His Word, but He'll lead you back to His Word. And He'll make His Word come alive to you. I've told the story oftentimes, but here's the aspect of the story that I want you to get. Is that when I got saved and was going to Bible studies, and about 3 months into my walk with the Lord and going to these Bible studies, the person that was leading them said, well, you're going to teach next Wednesday. Teach? I don't know anything. I know nothing. But I'd been reading. I knew that God was living in me. I've been reading, and I wanted to please God. I wanted to do anything that He wanted me to do because I loved Him, right? And I'd read somewhere in the Gospels, because I started with the book of John, and I've been reading through it. I read somewhere in there where it said this. It said, don't worry about what you're going to say. In that self-same hour, the Spirit will give you what things you're supposed to say. Now, in just a baby-like faith in trusting God, I said, well, I'm available. God, if You want to use me, that's fine. But listen, He did. I said, He did. He did. He began to use me out of my spirit. But watch this. Here's the point that I'm trying to make. Even when fear of trying to speak before people or teach a Bible study of the thing that I was ignorant of, and my old man would say, I'm not doing that. But out of my spirit rose the Scripture that I'd been feeding on, and it gave me the direction that I needed going forward. See, but I'm going out of my spirit, because that's who I really am. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. My spirit is brand new. I am in Him, and He's in me. Does that make sense? So we've got to begin to act on the fact that I'm a child of God. And the Spirit of God lives in me. And when I'm reading the Word, I need to have my mind set on Him. And the fact that He's in me, He's trying to communicate with me. And He will communicate with me through His Word. So, so rich. Now look at this. In verse 3 it says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You died. When did you die? You died when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You died to your old self. You died to your sin. You died to all of that. But you became alive in Him. And I like this phrase. It said, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden. In other words, my life is covered in God. Everywhere I walk, I'm hidden in God. Everywhere I walk, I'm hidden in the righteousness of God. Every place I go, when I wake up tomorrow morning, I'm going to be hidden in God. When I go to sleep tonight, I'm going to be hidden in God. If something happens to me that's unexpected, I'm still hidden in God in Christ Jesus. Who am I? I'm hidden in God. What does that mean? He shields me. He shields me. I get this picture of a little guy he's kind of a loudmouth little guy, and he's always popping off, but he's always got Bubba with him. Who's Bubba? Bubba's the big guy, the strong and, full of everything, but he's his best friend. So every time he gets in trouble, he runs from out in front of Bubba and goes behind Bubba because he's hidden in Bubba. So don't mess with me because Bubba's got my back, right? And I'm not calling God Bubba. Please don't say that. But I'm hidden in Him. See, when I come against the enemy. I don't come in my name. I come in His name because I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm hidden with God in Christ, the Messiah, and everything that He accomplished. And what did He do? He spoiled principalities and powers and made a display of them. Come on. And that's why He's given me that name that I can use. But I have to understand that it's not with my mind, it's not necessarily with my body, but it's out of my spirit. I need to become more God inside minded. So that during the day, as I'm walking with Him, as I'm talking with Him, I'm making myself available to Him. Now look down at verse 10. It says, "And having put on the new man, who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him." There's so much in that verse. There's so much in that verse, but let's break it down just a little bit. "And have put on the new man." What's the new man? The new man is who you became when He put a new spirit on the inside of you. When he came and He made you righteous, you became a new man. But you have to put it on. What does that mean? Does that mean that you're not new all the time, that your spirit is not born again all the time? No, that's not what it means. What it means is you have to take the reality of who you are and what God has said about you and renew your mind and put that on daily so that when you're feeling less than, you can say no. God, when you're feeling rejected, you can say, no, I'm accepted. Right? When you're feeling like I can't do that, you can go, no, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but I can't do it by myself. I don't get the credit. He gets all of the credit because He's the one that's given me the power to do that. And in Romans, it says that because we're born again, we should reign in life by Christ Jesus. Reign, what does that mean? That means that you're not letting life happen to you, but you're letting the life of God be lived through you so that your life can have influence and make a difference, right? But we have to get up every morning. We have to go to bed at night putting on the new man, putting on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. The Bible says that we were made in the image of God and that when Adam was formed, it was a species that was different than everything else because it was in the image of God. And that was tainted when he sinned. But when Jesus, the second Adam, came, he gave his life for us so that we could come back into that place where we're the image of him. And he could reside on the inside of us because our hearts were made new. They were purified and we were made holy. Who am I? Who are we? We're children of the Most High God. And we've been filled with the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. His wisdom, His Word is for us. Jesus said it's so important, it's so expedient. I mean, it's so vital that I go away. Because when I go away, I'm going to send another Comforter. And that Comforter will not be with you. He will be in you. And that's talking about the Holy Spirit who will guide you into all truth. Before Jesus died and took our place and took our sins, and we had the capacity of having that new heart, we had to go to Jerusalem in order to go into the presence of God. Or if we wanted Jesus to be with us, we had to find out where Jesus was and walk to Him in order to be in His presence. But he said, it's vital that I go away because I'm going away to prepare a place in your heart for God to dwell. Glory to God. When I got born again, the Spirit of God made my heart a place where God could reside because I'm right with Him on the inside. Who am I? I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. The righteousness of God has been made available to me, and I'm walking in the light of who He says that I am. Verse 11 says, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but in Christ all is all and in all. In Christ is all and in all. In Christ is all and in all. In other words, there's no if you're in Christ, you're not less than anybody else. You're not special because you wear a certain piece of clothing. You're not special because you go to a certain church. You're not special because, you know, somebody has called you special. The only thing that makes us special is being in Christ. But in Christ, we're all the same. Why? Because we're Him. We're called the body of Christ together. So look at this. If you want to do something, you feel compelled to worship God in a certain way, by all means, go do that. But your style of worship isn't what makes you in Christ. It's your faith in Jesus that makes you in Christ. And anybody that has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, even if I don't agree with them completely doctrinally, they're my brother or my sister. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has cleansed them from all unrighteousness. I'm going to spend eternity with them. Amen, 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 amen. It's so good. But who are we? We're the body of Christ. He wants us to be unified with the message. We're all different, but we're all the same. We're all different with different functions and different giftings and different ways that God's going to use us, right? But in Him, we're all the same because we're in Him, right? It's so good. So it doesn't matter if we're male, female, you know, of God's elect. You know, some people just, you know, well, you know, you might... We're not even sure if you're saved because you're not coming to our church. We're not sure that so much. You might be saved, but you're not as saved as I'm saved because I got baptized this way. And the reality is none of those things have any merit on the discussion. Here's the discussion. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If He is, then you're hidden with Him in Christ Jesus, and you're just like Him. And so if you're just like Him and I'm just like Him, we can have unity around Jesus. Make sense? I'm in Him, He's in me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now look at this. Because if I wrote this, I would have wrote it different. I would have wrote it, therefore as the elect of God, be holy and beloved. But this says, as the elect of God, as those that were chosen by God, and those who chose to be with God, right? I've chose to be with God, so I'm in His elect, right? I'm part of the I'm part of the group of people that call Jesus His Lord. And as that, watch this, He calls me holy and beloved. God calls me holy. God calls me, again, not by my efforts, not because I pray right and I act right and I do right, I give right, I do all the things that I'm supposed to do 100% perfectly. The only reason I'm right is because He took my sin so that I could become right. But He did take my sin, and therefore He calls me holy. He calls me accepted in the beloved. And because of that, then out of that should flow what He's talking about next. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. And if you look in Galatians chapter 5, that's a description of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, what does that mean? Well, we get a picture of, you know, apples and oranges and stuff dangling off a tree, the fruit, right? But really what the fruit means is the result of. If I wanted to become stronger, and I began to work out and began to lift weights and began to put on more weight and more weight and more weight, after a year or so, you'd look at me and my body would be different, and you'd say, well, how did that happen? Well, that's the fruit of the hours that I spend in the gym exercising, right? So the fruit of the Spirit is being in Him and spending your time and setting your mind on Him. And out of that, if you'll walk with Him, these will be attributes that follow you because He's going to lead you that way. God would not lead you in any other way but to put on tender mercies. He wouldn't lead you in any other way but to be kind. He wouldn't lead you in any other way that puffs yourself up over Him. You see what I'm saying? So it's, who are we? We're in Christ. We're hidden in Christ. We are born again in Christ. Hallelujah. Go to Romans chapter 8 and I'll wind this down. I have many favorite verses or chapters in the Bible, but Romans chapter 8 happens to be one of them. It's so wonderful. In verse 1 it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, some would say, and I thought this way for a long time, well, there's no condemnation as long as I'm doing everything right. But if I do something wrong, then I walk back under condemnation. So there's this yo-yo thing going on. But no, this is a status thing. Watch this again. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to their ability to be right, but by their faith in that He made me right. Because in my spirit, I'm born again. And in many translations, that actually that last phrase, according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, it is not in it. The original language, and I won't get into all that because I got to close. But watch this, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of life that is in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So I'm not walking under the law of sin and death. I'm walking because of who I am in Christ, according to the law of life that's in Christ Jesus. I'm just going to summarize it and close this way. Because I'm born again, and because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of me, and because I've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of the life of God is living in me. I'm free. I have His life, His love, His ability on the inside of me. I know that I know that I know in my spirit, in my knower, that I'm right with God because He made me that way. Amen? Who are we? We're born again. We're Spirit-filled. We're children of the Most High God. We're beloved. We're accepted in Him, in Jesus' name. So if God says you're not under condemnation, don't allow anybody else to put you there, especially your own thoughts, in Jesus' name. Thanks for watching today. Listen, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, get on your knees right now and say, God, I need You. One lady, she prayed it this way, and this worked for her. God, if You can do anything with this, go ahead. But she was in complete submission, and she said, God, I need a Savior. I need somebody to become my Lord. If you'll do that with all your heart, you'll become a new creature in Christ Jesus a whole different way. Just come to Him in Jesus' name. Father, I just pray for everybody that's watching. If they're sick in their bodies, Lord, I thank You for touching them. If they need financial blessings, bless them, Lord. But Lord, I'm asking that You'd speak to each person's heart that's listening to this message. And that, Lord, that they would check on the inside and be quiet before You on the inside and hear what You're trying to say to them. I thank You, God, for speaking in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you. Be blessed. Remember, Sunday, Joe Purcell, be here in Jesus' name. Amen.